Okay, we're going through the Old Testament. We're up to Nehemiah chapter 8. And if you want to follow along, we'll be getting into Nehemiah chapter 8 again. Last time we got a chance to start that chapter, and we were looking at a revival that was about to happen in Jerusalem. This is such an important event in the history of Israel because it tells of the restoration of the Jews from Babylon as they came back to the land of Israel. And now the temple has been rebuilt. The wall has been rebuilt around the city, and this story demonstrates, you know, the great love that God has for his people. He had to judge them because of their sin of idolatry. So they were removed from the land and taken to Babylon for 70 years. But now the Lord has allowed them to return to the land. He has had them rebuild the temple and rebuild the wall around the city. So now it's time for them to reflect on all that God has done for them. So we'll see that now as we get into chapter 8. And we get a little chance to start it last time. We'll dig in a little bit more today, Lord willing. So Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So we asked this question last time. Why did all the people come together with a single but strong desire on their heart? And that desire was to hear God's word. So a couple of thoughts, one from man's perspective, one from God's perspective on this. From man's perspective, we talked about this a little last time, but it sounds like the people must have been reflecting about all that God had done for them and how he had blessed them. And that was a humbling thing for them to realize. So then, in response to what the Lord had done for them and how he blessed them, they wanted to learn what could they do to please the Lord in return. And to learn about that, they needed to hear God's word. And that's what anybody needs to do if they want to learn how they can live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. They must hear what God has to say to them, okay, and on that matter. That's because man can really be led astray if it's left to his own thinking. We got to hear from God if we want to know how to please God. We definitely need God's input on these super important matters like how to please him. Now, secondly, from God's perspective, you know, why did the people come together and have such a hunger for God's word? People don't normally come together as one man for the things of God. They might do it from other things, but like the Tower of Babel, but they won't do it for God usually. So when you get all these people coming together as one man, and they're coming about the things of God, which they normally don't do, and they normally don't desire God's word, okay? So it must have been the Holy Spirit working on their hearts and drawing them together. In other words, this must have been a work of God from the beginning. And do you know what's interesting about a revival starting? It usually occurs because believers have been bathing it in prayer. And what have we seen about Nehemiah? What is the one thing that really characterizes him? He's a man of prayer. And I am sure that people who were around him were influenced to pray more, you know, than they were before. Because, you know, that happens when you surround yourself with godly influences. Remember when the disciples came and they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. The godly influence, and I'm not trying to be punny there, but the godly influence of seeing Christ pray and seeing the Lord work through his prayers stirred something inside the disciples, and they wanted to learn to pray like Jesus. So if we want to see revival, then we have to pray and pray and pray. And ask the Lord to move us by his Spirit, because revival is ultimately a God thing. So again, combining these two perspectives, both man's perspective and God's perspective, when the people come together with a humble heart and have a prayerful attitude, then you combine that with a real hunger for God's word, then those things can lead to a revival. And that's just what we are going to see happen in this chapter. And it's obviously the Holy Spirit who is moving people in that direction. Now, it's also cool here to see the people calling out for Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses. Now, we don't personally see enough of this, do we, ourselves, of people coming up to us and asking us to teach them about God and the Bible. That would be kind of on the same level as somebody coming up to you and asking, hey, how can I be saved? We jump at chances like that, wouldn't we? And they happen, but not as often as you would like. You know, my son Steve had a guy come up and ask him, I wanted to ask you, how can I get right with God? How can I get saved? And that just doesn't happen too much out of the clear blue. But unfortunately, you know, we tend to run into more people who will close their ears and tell you they don't want to hear about God if you try to talk to them. And well, we can keep praying for those people, you know. And by the way, have you prayed lately for those folks that maybe you tried to talk to and they didn't want to hear it, you know? They said, I want to hear about Jesus. Keep it to yourself. This passage here is a good reminder to us that we need to pray for folks in that situation. So we're going to stop here for just a couple of seconds and do that right now while we're thinking about it. Father, we do pray for folks that we may have talked to and spoken to and they just weren't thrilled to hear about Jesus and to hear about you. Lord, we ask you, continue to go after those people and soften their heart so that they can hear the truth about Christ. Please send other workers across their path that they'll listen to, because Lord, we don't want to see them perish just like you don't want to, Lord. So please continue to minister to those folks. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to go on to verse 2 here. So Ezra and the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Now look who all came to hear the word of God. Men, women, and all those who could hear with understanding. So even any child that was old enough to understand things, they were there too, and they wanted to hear God's message. All of these people wanted to hear what the Lord had to say. Do you ever stop to think about that? That when we open the Bible ourselves, we're going to get to hear all that God wants to tell us about. And he has a lot that he wants to say to us. So if anybody ever asks you, and some people might bring this up once in a while, but if they ever ask you, have you ever heard God speak? You can say, why, yes, and it's right here in the Bible. So every time I read it, it is God speaking and telling things to me. Would you like to listen in to him on what he has to say? You know, and they may or may not take you up on that, but you've given them the invitation, right? So verse 3, then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Wow, think about this. He read to them for about 6 hours straight. And all the people really wanted to hear God's message. We know that because we're told here they were attentive to the book of the law. Now, when it says the book of the law, it's referring to the first 5 books of the Old Testament. They are the guidelines that Israel used for how to walk with God. And for people to be attentively listening to this for many hours, it had to be a work of God stirring this up in their hearts. So verse 4, and so Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him at his right hand stood these men that are listed, and then at his left hand the list of the names of the other men who were there. So get the picture here. They made this wood platform specifically for this purpose. And it's amazing what they did to make it possible for everyone to be able to hear the word of God. And look at the picture here too. You've got 6 guys on his right side and 7 guys on his left side. So these guys were spread out so they could get the message out to the people even further. We'll see that more as we get down a little bit further in the passage here. In verse 5, it says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Wow, what an amazing response from the people. So the people were apparently sitting down and waiting for this event to happen. But when the scroll of the law was opened to be read, all the people stood up. So either they were honoring the Word of God by doing this, or they were getting ready to hear it be read, you know. But either way, it was a good thing that was going on. So it's really cool to see the people's reactions as we go through this. Verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, that's how he started out, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So Ezra started out by praising the Lord. Kind of like, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Huh? Never a bad beginning to start off with praise. You know, I'm afraid in our culture, we take so much for granted that we probably just bypass the praise a lot of times, and we just jump into our list of requests we have for the Lord, asking God for what we need. You know, I notice this in myself, and it humbles me to see this verse in the way that Ezra started out. So we try to focus on that and say, Lord, we don't mean to rush past things. We know you're an awesome God. You're the creator of the universe, and thankfully, the Lord is very patient with us. But at times, I think we rush it past that and say, Lord, I need this and this and this. Here's my grocery list today, you know. And we really need to follow this pattern. It's a beautiful picture here of how the Lord's working through this situation. And when you look at these people, you know, I love the physical expression we see with these folks. They lifted their hands to agree with the praise that Ezra gave, and then they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord. That's like a full expression of praise and submission. It's beautiful. Somebody mentioned that there's nothing wrong with raising your hands and praising the Lord, but you just want to make sure you're not drawing attention to yourself. You don't want to distract people away from their attention they're trying to give to the Lord during worship. Worship time is to be focused on the Lord, and we never want to distract someone away from worshiping the Lord. So there's nothing wrong with all with expressing yourself in worship, but you want to just be careful that you're not distracting somebody else, is the idea there. And we've seen a little bit of that before, and the Lord's taking care of it, and we praise the Lord for that. So let's go to verse 7 here. It lists the names of these guys here and the Levites, and it says they helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Okay, so it looks like these men that it mentions here, they were spread out further, and their goal, their job was to relay the message that Ezra was reading. And that way, all the people could hear right where they were standing. So it's an amazing setup they've got here. If you picture this, they made the wood platform. Ezra's on there. These guys are spread out. And as he's speaking, you know, they didn't have loudspeakers of the day. So he's speaking, and these guys are relaying the message so everybody can hear, and they can stay right where they are. They don't have to all try to crowd up front and hear what's going on. So amazing how the Lord worked this out and gave them great wisdom to do this. Verse 8, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense, and they helped them to understand the reading. This explains further what Ezra and these men were doing. And it's essentially what we're doing right now. They clearly read the words from the Word of God, and then they gave the meaning. And by doing this, they helped the people understand it. So this is where we get the example to follow in teaching God's Word. It's a simple and basic format, and it focuses on the Word and helping people to understand it. And you're all living proof that it works. It is such a joy to see you all growing in the Lord, and that's because you're receiving God's message personally. And you know, it brings me great joy to see that happening in your lives. And don't forget, you know, the people didn't come to hear Ezra's message. They came to hear God's message, and Ezra was fully aware of that too. That was his desire, I'm sure, from what we've seen of Ezra. And Ezra, he was just the willing vessel that God was going to use. So verse 8 here, the one we just read, is a great verse to use if you want to learn how to teach someone God's Word. And the ultimate goal is that people will have a greater understanding of God's Word. That's the goal. Now, unfortunately, we see a lot of churches in our day and age that focus on entertainment or getting the people all riled up and excited. But the Lord wants His church to focus on helping the people understand His word. Because without proper understanding, how can we obey Him the right way? You know, we've got to do what God says in His word. That means it's got to be understood for us to follow that. So verse 9 goes on, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep." And here's why they said that. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. You know, the conviction from the word of God, it was so strong, and the people were so open to receiving the truth from the word, that it caused them to weep. Wow, that must have been something to see, you know. And this was just the evidence of the powerful work of the Holy Spirit convicting people about things that were not right in their lives. And this is not something that Ezra or the men who were helping him were generating. They didn't say, "We're going to get him today, guys. Let's go get him." No, they were explaining the word of God, and the power of the word and the Holy Spirit working through it was working on the folks here. And I imagine that, you know, these leaders, when they saw the people start to weep, they were surprised too by the spontaneous response of the people. And it was a great thing, you know, that the people were honoring the Lord by taking His word so seriously. But the leaders had to interject here and to stop and encourage the people, you know. This all was the work of God that was among them. So it was a day that was holy to the Lord their God. And that made it a day that should be a day for rejoicing. I think it was Wiersbe who said this, "The word that wounds is also the word that heals." And that's what we're seeing here. It's really awesome to see the Lord doing all this. Verse 10 goes on. This is a powerful and a great passage of Scripture, obviously, in Nehemiah 8. We mentioned it last time that we wanted to get some of the meat out of here. So fill your plate up. We're getting some meat here. It's awesome stuff. They're in the middle of a revival here. Verse 10, "Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared.'" Notice the ministry to other people. "For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And there's a verse a lot of people like to hold on to, and it's true. So when we have days like this, where the Lord is really moving in our lives, those are not days for us to just relish ourselves, but they are days when we are to spread that blessing to others. You know, those are special days that we really can use to minister to the people. I remember when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord really made it a powerful experience in my life. And it's true that you just want to stay in the moment and just relish it yourself. But looking back, you know, I sure wish I would have ventured out and shared that time with others and ministered to them. I just wonder, you know, how the Lord would have used that, because the presence of the Lord seems so strong when that happened. And this passage makes me think about that. So there's nothing wrong with us relishing, you know, these special moments like that ourselves. But it's also not a bad thing for us to share these times of blessing with others. And as it says here, "The joy of the Lord is truly our strength, because although the Lord may convict us of our sins, we have a Savior who is eternally more powerful than our sin." Praise the Lord for that. So that should bring us joy, you know, that our spiritual Father loves us enough to correct us when we're doing wrong, and to know that He is greater than our sin. That should be an awesome thing to bring joy in our life. Verse 11 goes on, "So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, 'Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved.'" So we can see it took a little bit. I mean, the people really were weeping. They were broken over this. So the Levites, you could almost sense the comfort coming out of these guys, just trying to calm the people down, saying, "Guys, it's okay. You know, the Lord loves you. It's all right. It's a time for rejoicing. It's not a time for sorrow here." So this is a beautiful picture now, looking at these Levites, of God's servants bringing comfort to those who are grieving. And not to put a damper on all this, but it seems to be in sharp contrast to what some seminaries are actually teaching, you know, their preachers, to make the people feel convicted and ashamed to the point that they're close to feeling condemned. And I know of schools that teach that. It's like, oh my goodness, you know. So these guys come out to these churches and they're blazing. They're ready to burn some souls, I guess, and throw them on the grill. But you don't see that. You know, after seeing what God did in this passage, you can tell it's those seminaries that actually need to repent. So verse 12 here. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions, and rejoice greatly. So they're ministering to other people too. And here's the reason for all of this. Because they understood the words that were declared to them. And you know, it should bring us great joy when we can understand the words that were declared to us. I mean, think about it. When the Lord has spoken to us through His Word, whether it is in our private devotions or we're in a Bible study, that's an awesome and amazing thing. And we can think back to times in our life, you know, when maybe we didn't know the Lord at all. But now we can really appreciate the Lord and His greatness. And every time we open His Word, the Lord shows us more about Himself, and we grow through that, you know. So it's really cool that all takes place. I hope it blesses your heart to think about those things like it does mine. And we thank You, Lord, so much for letting us know You. Thank You, Lord. Verse 13. Now on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people, with the priests and Levites, were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. Now notice who's involved in this gathering. It's the heads of the fathers' houses. It's the priest, it's the Levites, Ezra the scribe. These guys are coming together, and they're leaders, okay? So this shows the need for the leaders to continue to study the Word of God. Their influence may be far-reaching, and they need to teach people by example that the study of God's Word is something that should never end in our life. You know, I was thinking the other day that you run into people who say things like, I've read the Bible and it doesn't do anything for me. I know you guys have met some folks like that because you tell me about it. Well, I get that if they aren't even saved, you know, because a person, they need the Holy Spirit to teach in the Bible. And a lost person doesn't have the Holy Spirit in them. So I understand when they say, I read it and it doesn't do anything for me. But when I hear somebody make a statement like that, I want to ask them this question. I haven't tried this yet, but I want to do this. You may have read the Bible, but did you study the Bible? Because as you guys know, there's a world of difference between just reading the Bible and studying the Bible. It's nice to read it, but it's powerful to study it. That can definitely change your life, right? Verse 14. And they found written in the law. Now notice these guys, they got together, they found this written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of olive trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees. And here's what they're supposed to do with it, to make booths as it is written. So the Feast of Tabernacles here that it's talking about, it was a reminder for Israel how God had provided for them when they were traveling through the wilderness. And it was something they were supposed to be practicing, but they obviously hadn't been, because these guys just found it in the Word of God, okay? I think the people during Nehemiah's time, they're actually getting the spiritual lesson from that. And they deeply appreciated God providing for their families during the Babylonian captivity, you know, and on up to where they are now, as they're back in Jerusalem. So this is pretty cool. Watch here, verse 16. Then the people went out, and they brought them. All the leaves and branches they were told to bring, they brought that stuff. They made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house, or in their courtyards, or the courts of the house of God, and in the open square of the water gate, and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim. Now this is so awesome to see, okay? They saw what God said in His Word, so they did it. It just, isn't that so cool? I tell you, obedience looks so good in the Bible, doesn't it? You know, as we've been traveling through the Old Testament, and there were times that we saw so much disobedience, you know, it got really frustrating at times, that it just makes obedience look so good, doesn't it? Pretty interesting. So verse 17 now, it says, so the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity, they made booths, and they sat under the booths. excuse me, for the since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day, right there in Nehemiah's time, the children of Israel had not done so. And look at the result here of these people doing this. And there was very great gladness, okay? So somebody pointed out that these people had this very great gladness, and it was because they obeyed God's word. I hope this lesson sinks deep into our heart, you know, that obedience to our Lord can bring great gladness in our lives. The enemy, you know, he tries to get us to believe the opposite, that the way to get gladness is to do our own thing and to live very selfish lives. But that's an empty road to travel down, and it can actually lead to great sorrow and many regrets when that person realizes what they missed out on, and that includes missing out on things that could have made an eternal difference in their life. How sad for them. Now, the Lord tells us here that it had been a very long time since Israel took the opportunity to remember the Lord in this way. And the cool thing was that it wasn't tradition that made the people do this in Nehemiah's day, but it was actually the word of God. Interesting. When they saw that the Lord clearly said in his word that the Jewish people should be practicing this feast, they immediately obeyed. This is something to see. They said it, they did it. When they heard the Lord said it, they automatically did it. And if you notice, when you watch the disciples, the way they lived with Jesus, when Jesus told them to do something, they did it. And it's really interesting to watch the obedience of disciples. Pretty cool. So we definitely see the Lord working here. And you know, may we respect the word of God in the same way that these people did. If God said it, then we will do it. And that's the key to finding very great gladness in your life. So if you find someone that says they're really feeling down and depressed, maybe you could ask them, what have you done for God lately? If they have no response, then maybe you could direct them to this passage and then explain to them how obedience can lead to having very great gladness in your life. You know, I hope the Lord sends someone to remind me of this if I get in a state of feeling down and depressed, huh? Because I know I will need that. You know, but the Lord says, here's why you find great happiness and joy in your life. Obey me. And it is true. It's really true. So verse 18. Also, day by day, notice this, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the 8th day, there was a sacred assembly, but gathering together according to the prescribed manner, just like the Lord told them to do, okay? So this wonderful revival was started by the Spirit of God, moving the people to hunger for the Word of God. And the Word of God was continually made available for the people. And the people, they obeyed the Word, okay? That's beautiful. And if you think about it, in our society right now where we're at, the Lord has made his word continually available for people, and that includes us. So hopefully we appreciate that fact, you know, and hopefully we have a heart of obedience like these people did. Remember, the Bible is not for head knowledge, but for heart change, and that only happens by obedience, okay? So it's a really cool picture here of what the Lord was doing and how the people responded, you know. And the Lord made his word available those entire 7 days. It was constantly there, constantly read to them, and the people were able to take it in. Now, like I said, for us it's different. We all have Bibles. We can go buy and get Bibles almost all over the place. So the word of God is continually available for us. We don't have to, you know, go into Jerusalem and sit there and wait until they get a chance to build the podium and then they read. You know, for us it's right here. We got the word of God right with us. This is God able to speak to us right from his word. It's pretty awesome. So in closing, I want us to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. So if you want to turn there, it's a good passage to see. 2 Timothy chapter 3, a very familiar passage. We've looked at it a number of times. When we talk about wanting to appreciate God's word being available to us continually, okay, I want us to see this in 2 Timothy 3. Verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God And it's profitable. And notice what it's profitable for. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the end result of that, all those things are done, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, you know, that's why we teach the Bible from cover to cover, so we can be thoroughly equipped for anything God calls us to do. Everything He says, I want you to do this, we're able to do it because we're taking in the Word, we're staying in the Word. So the Bible teaches us the truth here. It corrects our wrong thinking. That's what it's telling us in this passage. It corrects us when we're being disobedient, and it teaches us the right thing to do. Now, here's somebody saying, would you repeat that again? So I will. The Bible teaches us the truth. That's the doctrine it mentions here. It corrects our wrong thinking. That's the reproof. And it corrects us when we're being disobedient. That's what it says for correction here. And it teaches us the right thing to do. That's the instruction in righteousness. So the Bible has us completely covered when it comes to what do I need to be able to serve God and do things that He calls me to do. He tells us right here, it's His Word. It's His Word. So for you and me, if we're paying attention, you know, to the Word of God, that's a very good sign that the Holy Spirit is working in us, because He puts that desire in us. He's the one that draws us to His Word, you know, and we need to follow through and take in the Word as the Lord gives us opportunity, because God is wanting to speak to us, and we need to be listening and be receptive to what He has to say. Now, before we close, we have to send out the offer for anyone to come to Christ who may not know Him yet. So, friend, Jesus died for your sins on the cross. And then He was buried after He paid for your sins completely by giving up His own life. Then He was raised from the dead. And that meant that His sacrifice for you was accepted by God the Father. So if you will receive Christ and believe that these things that I just told you are true, then your sins can be forgiven. Please consider doing this today. Now let's all pray, guys. Father, we're so grateful for Your Word of truth. I thank You, Father, for these people who have hung in there today, and they hang in there. They've been hanging in there a long time as we go through the teaching of Your Word. And Father, I thank You for the joy You've given me to see them grow in Christ. And it's such a blessing, Lord, to see that. I know You must be thrilled as well, Lord. So we praise You for that. Father, I pray that there would be a hunger for Your Word to go across this land as we cry out for revival, Lord. We ask that Your Holy Spirit would move in people's hearts and give them desire to want to hear the Word of God. And Lord, as You bring people, I pray that the truth of the gospel would do its work. Lord, we know it's like a surgeon, that it wounds, but it also heals. And we praise You for that, Father. We thank You for that, Lord. Father, we ask You for that revival that this land desperately needs. And Father, I pray for Your church. I know we need to wake up and repent before You, Lord. We need to get right with You and humble ourselves. Stop being so arrogant, Lord. So, Father, please help us to get to that place of repentance. Help us to say, Lord, we're wrong if we have any kind of issues in our life that are not pleasing to You. And we want to confess that to You, Lord. Please give us Your heart for the lost people. Please give us Your heart and love for each other. And Lord, please help us to have the grace to minister to each other as You give us opportunity. Thank You again, Lord, for Your holy word. And we just want to thank You, give You all the praise, Father, for these things in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, You are so worthy of praise and honor and glory. And I don't want to forget that today, Lord, as You showed that to us in our passage. So we give You back all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Guys, Angie's got some issues this morning with her throat. You may have caught that as she was doing the introductory worship. And that's what she came and asked me, if she could not have to do the last worship here, because she's been struggling with her voice and coughing and things like that. So we'll pray for her again as we close, guys, okay? Father, we ask You to help Angie give healing to her body. Lord, I pray that You would touch her voice. And we know, Lord, the enemy's hard at work trying to mess things up and cause problems. And we just thank You, Lord, that You overcome these things. So, Lord, we pray, please touch Angie, heal her completely. And we thank You for that. Help those who are hurting this morning and those who are going through difficult times. And we just praise you, Lord, for the joy you give us by getting into your word. So all glory, Lord, goes back to you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Lord bless you guys. The Lord loves you tremendously. And we love you guys. So hang in there and keep praying. Keep praying, guys, because we all need prayer. And we'll see what the Lord's going to do. Keep trusting him.